the day when we remember, when we recognize, and when we rejoice that Jesus Christ is risen today. Amen?
Amen.
Easter Sunday is a special chance that we have to celebrate with family and friends. And I know that many of you are visiting with family today or have driven to be with folks you love, or maybe you're just here from across town. In any case, we welcome you and we're so glad that you are here. The truth is that the message of Easter, though, is not just for us and our family and friends as a small group. In fact, it's meant for all the world and all the people to hear and share and celebrate. And in that spirit, I wonder if you'll take just a moment and turn to the people around you and say, welcome. Just turn to someone right now and say, welcome. Welcome, welcome. Now, there are so many good things we can say about Easter, the things that we associate with this day. It's resurrection, it's new life, it's forgiveness, it's an empty tomb, it's the witness of the women, it's the angel's proclamation. Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he is not here, for he has been raised. And that's our Easter hope, isn't it? That Jesus, who suffered so much at the end of his life, who was crucified, nailed to a cross, dead and buried, put in a tomb, that somehow, by the power of God, he might be raised again to new life. And as he overcomes the bonds of death, he also makes a way for everyone, for all of us even, into life with God, even life eternal. And that's the message of Easter. It's a great mystery. I don't expect to unravel the whole thing for you this morning, but it stands at the center of our individual faith and the life of our church and our corporate sharing together as Christ's body. It's a mystery that we turn to again this morning as we seek to understand more and more what the meaning of Easter is for each one of us. And as we begin today, let's pray. God of life, your Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Your Spirit inspired the prophets and the writers of Scripture. Your Spirit draws us to Christ and helps us to acknowledge him as Lord. We ask that you will send your Spirit now to give us deeper insight, encouragement, faith, and hope through the proclamation of the Easter gospel. Amen. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to a tree? Were you there when they pierced him in his side? Were you there when they laid him in a tomb? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? The haunting and poetic words of this hymn speak directly to us on this Easter morning, because they speak to the shadow side of this day. Easter, with all its brightness and beauty, emerges, we remember, out of the shadows of the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. And I wonder if it causes you to tremble, even just a little bit, to think back on all that Jesus went through up there on that cross. And in thinking together with you about the meaning of Easter and the resurrection today, I want to suggest to you one key word, a word that you can take with you and reflect upon this week and in the days to come. The word that I want you to remember today is tremble. 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 In the gospel accounts of that first Easter, there is trembling all over the place. You remember that the women went to the tomb early on that first day of the week, just as the sun was rising. You can imagine their emotions. Certainly, grief and sadness at the loss of their friend, but also sadness and numbness at the suddenness of it all. Questioning what did it mean and what's next for us. You know, they didn't know. As they arrived at the tomb, Matthew's gospel, which we read today, reports there was a great earthquake. The earth itself was trembling. And then down from heaven came an angel of the Lord who rolled back the stone and sat on it. And when the Roman guards who had been posted there, when they saw this was happening, it says that they started to tremble. It says they shook and became like dead men. They trembled from fear. Not only did the earth tremble and the guards tremble, but the women on that first Easter day also trembled. The angel speaks to them and tells them to go and tell the disciples everything that has happened, that Jesus has been raised. And so they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. And that same verse in Mark's gospel says that they went trembling and bewildered. The response of the women and the guards and all of creation to what happened to Jesus is to tremble. Of course, Easter is not just about trembling and fear, dying or death. That's only part of the story. As biblical scholars Marcus Borg and John Crossan remind us, Easter completes an archetypal pattern that's at the center of Christian life: death and resurrection, crucifixion and vindication. Both parts of the pattern are essential, they say. When one is emphasized over the other, distortion is the result. So the other side of the story, this Easter story, is actually the one that we know best. It's the one that we celebrate with joy and jelly beans, with songs and prayers, with brightly colored clothes and beautiful flowers and hard-boiled eggs. The other side of the story is the good news that Jesus sacrificed on that cross when he took on the sins of the world, yours and mine, that incredible act of love somehow overcame the power of doom and despair and, yes, even death. And his resurrection, then, also gives a promise for us, that we too, who are found in Christ, might also be resurrected to new life with Christ, that we might find our lives made new. Friends, this is the good news of the gospel, that Jesus Christ, his life, death, and resurrection, that in that we are forgiven, we are accepted, we are transformed. The old life is gone, the new life has begun. This is the Easter gospel. Let me tell you a true story. It's told by a clinical psychologist named Dr. Jack Kornfield, who one day was traveling by train between Washington, D.C. and Philadelphia. And on the train that day, he sat next to someone who was the director of a rehabilitation program for juvenile offenders. This man was the director of a program for kids who had committed homicide, murderers. And he told the story of a 14-year-old boy in the program who had killed another teenager as an act of initiation for his gang. And at the trial for this juvenile defender, the victim's mother was in the courtroom, and she sat silently until the end of the trial when this boy was convicted of killing her son. After the verdict was announced, she rose slowly and looked directly at her son's killer and said in a loud and clear voice, "I am going to kill you." And then he was taken away to serve out his sentence. After about 6 months, the mother of that child went and visited this killer in prison. The boy had been living on the streets before the shooting, and so he didn't really have any family. She was the only one who had visited him in the jail. And it was pretty awkward at first and hard, but they talked a little bit. And when she left, she gave him some money for cigarettes. And then, little by little, the woman started visiting him some more. And she would bring him little gifts or food. As he was a juvenile, the sentence was only 3 years long. And as it came to a close, the woman who had been getting to know him asked what he was doing when he got out. And he was confused, and he said he didn't know. So she offered to get him a job with a friend who had a company. And then she asked him if he had a place to stay when he got out, and he said no. She said he could stay in her spare room. So for 8 months after he got out of this facility, this boy lived in her house, ate her food, worked at that job, and then one evening she called him down to talk. She sat him down in the kitchen and stared at him. And then she said, do you remember that day in the courtroom when I said that I was going to kill you? And he said, yeah, I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that moment. Now, if I was watching this story as a movie in a dark theater, I know I'd be trembling at this point. Maybe you would be too. That boy should have been. Because we know how these stories go. We know what's going to happen next. With all this buildup, the gifts, the kindness, the job, and the room to stay in, this woman has been luring him in closer and closer until this moment when she can finally exact her revenge and kill him. And so she says to him, well, I did all that, all those nice things, so that I could kill you. But now it's done. It's finished. That old boy is dead. The one who could shoot someone down in a street like it was nothing, he's dead and gone. He's no more. He's not in you. You're free. You're changed. You have a new life. Now, of course, this new life that she's offering to him, it costs something. Not for the boy, though, but for the mother. It costs her chance to remain righteously angry forever. It costs her emotionally as she starts to see this boy as someone like her own son. It costs her socially as people start to say, what in the world are you doing? Have you lost your mind? Real forgiveness costs something. It costs a lot. And yet she sacrifices all this and more in order to make a way for him to have a new life. And you listen to all this today and you say to yourself maybe, hey, preacher, this is heavy stuff. Is there a word of hope for us on this beautiful Easter morning? And I'm glad you asked, because there is. In fact, there is a word of hope, one key word of hope that I want to leave with you. It's a word for you to take with you as you go, and that one word is tremble. Recently, Abigail, our little baby who's around here somewhere, has started taking on this habit of trembling in the house. She starts to tremble, and it's like she's got an electric shock going through her. Her hands start to go like this. She can't stop. It's almost compulsory. She can't control herself. It looks like she's upset, like she's about to cry or she's going to explode. She's trembling. And she gets that look in her face, you know the look, like, if I don't get that thing that I want, I'm going to lose it. Whatever that thing is. And so at first when she started doing this trembling, I was kind of worried. Like, what's wrong with this baby? Why is she trembling like that? Is she okay? She was trembling so much. But then I realized something, that this baby isn't trembling because she's upset or angry or afraid. She isn't trembling because of pain or sorrow. The reason she is trembling when my wife or I walk in the room is that she wants to be picked up by her mommy or her daddy. The closer we get, the more she trembles. She's so excited to be picked up and held and hugged and kissed and cuddled. She trembles whenever her parents are nearby because she senses the possibility, the hope, that we might just scoop her up off the floor, pick her up out of the crib, and hold her tight, safe and secure by her loving parent. She trembles with expectation. And that's what trembling on Easter is all about. Trembling with expectation. Not out of fear or worry or sadness at what has happened. It was bad and we've trembled at that. But with expectation and joy and delight at the thought, the possibility, the hope of this day. This day that tells us that we do have a loving parent who is scooping us up into everlasting arms out of dangers and toils and snares, who is sacrificing everything in order to pick us up and hold us close and bring us home. The God who we come to know in Easter has done all of this and loves us so much as to redeem us from our rock bottom, from our old selves, even from our tombs. You see, we tremble at Easter not because of the pain, suffering, and sacrifice, But we tremble because of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, who is risen. And if Christ is risen, brothers, and if Christ is risen, sisters, then we also find ourselves raised to new life with Christ. Our lives are changed, transformed, made new. The old has passed away, dead and gone, and a new life has come. Amen? Friends, this is the Easter proclamation. Hear it again. The one you are looking for, Jesus, who was crucified, is not here, and we tremble. For he has been raised, and we tremble. And he is going ahead of you, and we tremble. And you will see him, and we tremble. This is the word of the Lord for you on this Easter day. May you tremble before it. Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Amen. Amen.
Please join me in the affirmation of our faith. It's in the bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of